AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Well, welcome to the Last Storyteller podcast, Addicted to Faith. It's Jim Hurdle, your host. Today, visiting with me is author Joe Sines. His name of his book that we're going to talk about today is Heaven's Ranch, inspired by a true dream of heaven. Intriguing. Welcome, Joe. How are you today?
Thank you for having me, Mr. Jim. I appreciate you very much.
Let's start off by telling everybody about who Joe is. Yeah. Family man.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and you're a writer?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
And that's the easy stuff to find out. Tell us everything else about you.
Well, I'm first and foremost, I'm a husband to a beautiful wife. I am a father to two beautiful babies, one on earth, one in heaven. I've been a police officer for the past going on 14 years. I'm a school resource officer, so I work in a school setting. I do that almost a year ago now. I started a ministry called Big Ministry. We focus a lot on Bible studies and fellowships and outreach. And then just about a couple months ago, I got into writing. I've always been a writer. I've always enjoyed writing. I was a part of a music group back in the day, and I would write music for some people. And I dabbled in rapping and stuff. So I was just a natural writer. So I was like, you know what, I had an experience when I lost my daughter, and I figured that writing was a good way for me to cope. And I shared my writing with a couple people, and they're like, man, you might want to consider releasing something like this. And sure enough, I released my first entry book, and then I had an experience. I wrote my other book. And but yeah, man, in a nutshell, that's what I am. I'm a husband. I'm a father. Those are my two favorite titles. And then other than that, I'm a police officer. I have a ministry. And man, that's me in a nutshell.
So Big Ministry is,
yes, sir.
It's B-I-G. Is that an acronym?
Yes, sir. It stands for Brothers in God.
Brothers
so,
in God.
Yes, sir. I started it with a buddy of mine, my buddy Mike. He went through tremendous loss. Then I went through tremendous loss. And we've been friends since childhood. And I was there for him, then he was there for me. And I had started my original ministry. The first one I started was called the Forge Ministry. It went from a men's fellowship to a general Bible study. And then I wanted to bring in my buddy in with me as a partner. So we started Big Ministry together. And so, yeah, that's what we got going on right now.
Well, good for you. I know it's got to be a blessing on your own life, and a blessing to the people that you are ministering to and ministering with. Your book is about grief, about restoration, and about purpose. And it's a hard book to read. It really is, especially if anybody has experienced some of the things that you experienced as far as the grief side of life. And the longer that we're here, the more, I guess, likely it is that we will go through a time of grief. We saw this week our nation go through an incredible moment of grief that I don't think has stopped yet. But your book, in writing your book, it wasn't just to tell everybody about the bad things that happened in life. You talk about the really incredible, special moments in life. Tell our listeners, Joe, about Heaven's Ranch.
So that experience, it took me a long time to truly understand what it is that happened, right? And without spoiling it too much, I want to say, like, in the beginning of May of 2025, I had already been saved. I had already started my ministry. I had started my Bible study. I was doing real good. I was doing way better from dealing with the very, very terrifying depression that I dealt with after losing my daughter. That depression was by far the scariest. I can't even put it into words how horrifying that experience was. But so I was saved. I found God. I found purpose. I was felt my life renewed and everything was going real good. But the human part of me still wondered, like, I just want to know why, you know, like I need reassurance. And I wouldn't ask God, why did you do this? I would ask God, help me understand, you know, just give me clarity. If whatever signs you put in front of me, give me the clarity to see them, because I hate living like if I feel like if I'm questioning, and I don't want to question, I want to follow. But I begged, like I need clarity. I need to understand.
What's your
And
daughter's name?
her
What's your
name,
daughter's name?
her full name is Aniole Ophelia Sainz, but we call her Annie for short.
The death of a child
Yeah.
before a parent passes is unnatural. And
Yes,
I
sir.
think sometimes the only answers we can find is in the supernatural and by turning to God. And you
Yes,
turn
sir.
there. And that is part of this story, but the story's so much more.
Yes, sir. It's I always say I'm just when I promote my book, it's I'm a person with two major missions. One mission is for those people that are dealing with hopelessness and grief to know that there is hope and love when you turn to God, number one. And number two is I'm just a father wanting to let people know that my daughter was sent to earth by God to save me. And that she had a purpose, and I want people to understand that she might have only lived for 6 hours on earth, but she did more for me in those 6 hours than people have in my entire life. And I feel like it's very important, and it's my life mission to keep her memory alive. And if it's through this book, then it's through this book. But she made a big change in me, and thanks to her, she's helped me bring other people to God. And myself and my wife. And so she gave me the biggest blessing anybody ever did, you know, to by saving me and coming to that realization. And it took a very tragic event, but a quote that I love a lot from a movie, actually, The Shack, where it's the figure that's playing God says, I can make beautiful things out of tragic events, but I don't orchestrate the tragedies, you know, it's true. It was a real tragic event when I lost her, but if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be where I'm at now, and I wouldn't know what the true love of God really feels like, you know. So I just, you know, the whole book is dedicated to her and her memory and what she did in those 6 hours of life.
You know, when people, whether they're believers, whether they're Christians or non-believers or they believe in a different God, when they go through something like you experienced, a deep, deep loss wrapped up in a deep, deep grief, I think the natural question that may come to mind is why God? Why did you do this? And it's, I think in your book, you made it. I mean, that's a very deep theological or philosophical question that's been asked for many years, and there's been many answers to it, and none of them will satisfy everybody about it. But what you the line that you quoted from the Shack encompasses exactly what that is. When things like that happen in our lives, God allows those things to happen. He doesn't necessarily cause them to happen. And God allows even the death of a child or your mom or your grandma that you speak about or write about. When those things happen in our life, God can take those moments that we feel like we're in a really dark, dark place, and He shines a light on it. And sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to see that light. Now, your story, I want to tell you, I write a lot. I've been writing for a long time. And I enjoy it very much. And I was reading Heaven's Ranch. As I was reading that, I didn't feel like I was being reading something that was written, Joe, I felt like you were talking to me. The conversation, the flow is incredible. And I encourage all our listeners to go out and get both his books, She Saved Her Daddy and Heaven's Ranch, Inspired by a True Dream of Heaven. It's like I couldn't stop reading because I felt like this guy's talking to me at this moment. And I want to, first of all, recognize that you have been able to do that and congratulate you, because there's been writers, even like myself, that have been writing for years that struggle with not sounding like a writer. You want to sound like a storyteller. You, my friend, are a very good storyteller. But you should And I know you don't want to give too much of the book away, because we are here to sell books. At the end of the day, that's what we're here for.
Yes, sir.
But in this story, in the title, it says Inspired by a True Dream of Heaven. And it was a dream. Am I correct in saying that?
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be extremely honest. I'm an open book. I've been saying this from the beginning. Any interview that I've done, anyone that I've talked to, when I had this dream, I called it a dream. But as soon as I woke up from the dream, I didn't say a single word to anybody for like about a month, because I didn't know exactly what it was. In my mind, I thought to myself, maybe I died or something in my sleep. And that was like my glance into heaven. I remember I went to my doctor right away and I got checked. I'm like, hey, I need a full body checkup, like immediately. She's like, yeah, sure. So she checked me. Everything came out good. So then I was just real confused. I was like, man, I had so many different emotions. I was like, one, why did I wake up from that? Because that felt amazing. And two, usually the average person, when you have a dream, you tend to like forget figments of it, or you forget things about it. You remember as you go. But that to me didn't, even now, I see it more as a memory than I do a dream, because the people that I spoke to, I can remember that experience as good as I'm talking to you right now. And I was able to feel things. And in the dream, I realized that I was dreaming. So I'm like, why can't I feel my hands? And I remember touching the walls and the dirt. I'm like, I could feel everything, you know? And I got to see a lot of people in the dream. I got to meet with a lot of people. I got to talk to certain individuals, and their voices sounded the same as when I remembered them.
Wow.
And yeah, and it was so weird. And I talked to a couple of buddies of mine that are pastors at other churches, and they're like, you might want to consider not calling it a dream, because the way you're explaining it to me sounds like it's more of a vision. And I'm like, man, I'm not, maybe I'm just a naturally humble person, but I don't, and I'm scared to say that it was a vision, because if it wasn't, and you know, it was very confusing. That's why it took me so long to even talk to even my own wife about it, you know, and it was because I didn't know exactly what it was. And my biggest fear as a minister for my ministry is sounding preachy, or me preaching the wrong thing. So it took me a while. So that's why I wrote it. I wrote everything down. The book itself took me about less than a week to write, because I was writing out of memory. You know what I mean? So it was just, I just put everything that I saw and everything that I put. And granted, there's certain people that I saw that I didn't put in the book, because it just would have been a really long book. So I kind of made it flow as best that I can.
Well, I think that goes back to it sounding like you're talking. I mean, the words are being recorded on a piece of paper, but you were talking to the reader, you were talking to your audience. Mm-hmm. Over the last 15, 20 years, maybe there have been stories about, is heaven real? 7 minutes in heaven, people talking about they're dying, they die, and they went to heaven and they came back. And mm-hmm. I never want to doubt what somebody believes.
Of course, sure.
I believe those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you go into the Old Testament, and God had a mule talking to a person, right?
Yep. Yep.
If God can make a mule talk to somebody, then he can give us these moments. But
yes,
because of the world that we live in, people will grab a hold of that, especially, I think, even more so with you being in the position you are in your ministry, is that people hear those things and they think, oh, man, you're making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have to be careful with those things. I like the idea or the fact that you put it down as a true dream. Mm-hmm. I like those two words together, a true dream, because mm-hmm. to me to call something a dream, that can be used a number of different ways, right? I dream one day of going to Antarctica, mm-hmm. or those type of things. I don't remember my dreams. I consider myself blessed that I don't remember my dream. I've woken up quickly before from a dream, and it mm-hmm. fades before I take a first breath. I consider myself lucky that I don't, because I've talked to people that have some really bizarre dreams, right?
Yeah.
But I also believe that God, sometimes, if he wants to talk to us, the only time he knows we're going to listen is when our eyes mm-hmm. are closed. The journey in the dream, you go on a journey back to a ranch from mm-hmm. childhood.
Yes, sir.
And this is what really caught my attention, was because of the details, and you just mentioned it, the details in your memory from, I don't want to ask how many years ago that actually was, unless you want to tell us how many years there was before the last time, I mean, as a child, being there as a child where you had this dream. But I have a hard time remembering, you know, where I was eating dinner last week. I can tell you I ate dinner, but I'm not going to tell you any of the details. The details that are in your dream are incredible. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than memory. We all have memories, but to bring something up into memories with that much clarity, I do believe takes the hand of God to touch. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what happened to you.
Yeah, it's been since I've gone to that ranch, my grandma, which is, it's like a little town, right? The name of the town is called Rancho San Jose. And both my grandmas lived real close to there, my mom's mom and my dad's mom, right? And the last time that we stayed at my grandma's house, which is my mom's mom, which is where I had the dream at, had to have been about 25 to like, between 25 years ago. But in my dream, I mean, I saw it. It was that house, but in a very different way. Like everything that I saw in the dream was so vivid, and every little detail was like very vibrant, like very like the colors were different. The building itself was the same, but like it looked new and old. I could like it, and then there was no one thing that I still kind of try to process was that there was nothing sharp. There was nothing. There was no corners. Everything was curved. Everything was real, like real clean and curved. So like my thought is, again, I have a toddler. I have a 2-year-old son, right? My son JJ. And I always like, okay, I make sure he doesn't run into a corner and poke his eye out or something. I felt in the dream, I'm like, man, this would be a very safe place for my son to roam around, because there's nothing here that could hurt him. Like everything just looks so beautiful and pristine and cleaned. And then the people that I saw, the last time I saw them in a very vulnerable, sick stage. And when I saw them up again and or when I saw them here, they were like that. When I saw them again in heaven, they looked like so good and happy and healthy and glowing, and their voices were the same. And it was weird because I haven't seen my grandmother and my mother for years. My grandma about 5-6 years, my mom about 15-16 years. But their voices, I remember so distinctively thinking to myself, man, your voice sounds exactly the same. Like that was so weird. And I'm like, I can actually hear you. I know that I'm hearing your voice. It was such a weird thinking pattern because everything was just hitting me all at once. And I was just trying to process the fact of who I'm walking with. Because I had a guide me throughout my dream, which I thought was wonderful. I had several guides. So seeing him was already mind-blowing. And then after that, seeing the ranch and then seeing my mom and then seeing all this other stuff, and it's beautiful. It was such a beautiful, that's why when I woke up, I was so upset. I'm like, why did you take me away from there? I'm like, why would you do that to me? I fought myself for almost a week. I was so upset. I'm like, why would you show me that and then bring me back here?
I want to ask you a question about a question that you had. You wrote that sometimes the answers we seek arrive in ways that change everything. The answers that we seek. What was the question? And did this incredible dream answer your question?
It did in more ways that I think I could even explain. My main question was why? Why? And my biggest question, and you're a father. I always, this is the best way that I can explain it. As a father, your number one priority in life is to make sure that your kids are safe.
Yes.
No matter what, right? And you'll lie to them and you'll be in pain and they're like, are you okay, daddy? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. Your kid be in the worst pain of your life, but just so that you don't scare them, you will do whatever you have to do to make them think that it's okay. So my biggest question is my daughter okay? Is I don't see her, I'm not with her, but I need confirmation that she's okay. And that definitely 100% got answered in this vision. Or this dream, I should say.
That's wonderful.
Sure. Yes,
That
sir.
is wonderful. It's I had not been.
I will say this when and this is a little spoiler, right? But I think it'll make people want to read it maybe even more. But when I lost my daughter, she was 6 hours old and she was beautiful. She looked just like my son. They look like little carbon copies. And I did see her again, and I got to hold her. I got to feel her. I don't know how old she was in my dream. I didn't get to ask her how old she was. If I had to guess, she was about 6, 7 years old. I got to hear her voice. I got to feel and smell her hair, and it was beautiful. That was the, and I thank God every day for that because at first I was upset. Because I felt like if I had lost her all over again, I'm not gonna lie. I'm being as honest as I can. When I woke up, I feel like you did it again. You took her away from me again. But I see what he did now. Like I see that I asked for clarity. He gave me clarity, and it was in the form of this dream. And I know that she's up there and she's good and she's safe and she's with my grandmother. She's with my mother. She's with God. She gave me that's the closure I needed. And she told me a lot of things actually. And I always tell people when you get to chapter 12, make sure you have your tissues ready because it's going to be a little tearjerker. It took that chapter took me the longest because that's the one that I remembered. Obviously, I remembered the most vivid. And in reading it, once I wrote it, because you're a writer, when you write, you're in the zone and you're trying to remember all the little details and you go line for line. Once we did the first official reading of the whole book, I couldn't get through chapter 12. I cracked at the very beginning of it. And it took about, I still haven't been able to finish reading it in its entirety because it hits real close to me at least. And but that's a chapter that the people connect with the most. And and maybe when I see her again, maybe she'll be 33. Who knows, right? I got to saw her as a little toddler, which is pretty cool. But yeah, that was so beautiful that God did that, and that was the closure I needed to fully move forward and be a lot more comfortable with being able to talk to people that have gone through loss and reassure them, like, look, this is what he did for me, man. And and in that dream of mine, he gave me a mission. He told me he's straight up told me you're gonna want to keep this to yourself, but go and tell people what you saw here. And my biggest fear, like you said, was, man, this sounds so outlandish. This sounds, how am I gonna get people to believe me? And a lot of people were like, release it anyways. And the people that need to hear it will hear it. And the people that don't want to hear it, they won't hear it. But at least the ones that do will. And that was my motivating factor to push through and release it because if I could help out one individual understand, And then I did my job, and luckily, I mean, I never expected the amount of support I've been getting. The people here in my city have been going crazy over the book, and it's been getting really good reviews, and I'm just real thankful that I had the courage to release it, despite a lot of fear. I had a lot of fear before I was, but I did it anyways because that's what was commanded of me to do. So
Well,
that's.
it's Heaven's Ranch is it's a testimony.
Sure.
It's a wonderful testimony. It's a tribute to the people in your life that you loved and you lost. It's a book that's worth reading. And now you've written two books, both of them dealing with loss and grief and these type of things. And but you're a writer now. You're a writer now.
Yes, sir.
So, do you have plans for anything in the future? And hopefully, it's not out of another loss, Joe.
I do. I actually have I already have something in the works. Should be releasing, God willing, in for next summer, or this summer coming up, I should say. I have the working title right now. It's called Mike and Gabe. And it's basically going to be the story of the crucifixion through the eye POV of Michael and Gabriel.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's gonna have
Wow.
I'm gonna twist it around. It's gonna be all of the same stories. A lot of it's gonna show a little bit of story of Jesus doing his miracles, but again, from the point of view of heaven, looking down, the angels are right behind him, and it's. I'm again being a cop. I want to make it a kind of like a cop buddy theme, where
Right.
Mike and Gabe are given a task to go find God because he's missing, and then they find him in Jesus, and they're following Jesus around and trying to protect him. And Jesus ultimately telling them like, "Hey, this has to happen. You know, like let it
But
happen."
Mike and Gabe don't play good cop, bad cop, right?
Well, actually, Mike is the very the what's the way I have him written. I'll share my notes with you later. Mike is very tempered, hot-headed. He's real like, "Oh, we need to get down there quick and protect them." And Gabe is the more voice of reason, like, "Hey,
Right.
let's just hold on. Let's go see what it is that, you know, is going to
Well, you know,
happen with our fire."
and I think you could argue that's biblical. When they had a message to send to Mary, they sent Gabriel,
Oh,
right?
of course,
Oh
he's the
yeah.
messenger. He's God's messenger. And
Absolutely. So.
actually, all of this is inspired by, I can't remember what book in the Gospels. I want to say it's in the book of Luke, where he says, "You don't think if I call up on God, he'll send out legions of angels to come and
Right.
save me." You know,
Right.
so it's inspired off of that one line because I'm in my mind. I've always thought, like, man, I could just imagine Mike and Gabe just walking back and forth during the crucifixion, like just say the word, I'll go down there and clear them all. You know what I mean? Like I have, so I'm using that as like a template of like what I want to do with buddy cop, protect Jesus at all costs. But then the ultimate underlining thing that I want to people to understand is just gotta have faith and trust God at all times, because even the angels were kind of like, "Hey, what's going on?"
And that
But
message can be delivered in multiple ways. You're a
sorry.
dad, and
Yes, sir.
I think you telling this story like that is the same way that a dad goes to a child, especially a young child that has a question about the Bible. Well, you could sit down and you could open the King James Version, you could read scripture right out and give the child the answer, and their eyes would blur and they would run away. You say, "I'm not going to ask dad that question again," right?
What?
But when you can
Yeah.
sit down and tell a Bible story, I think it's wonderful when it works. Right? So
Yes,
I've seen
sir.
some of them that didn't work very good because they strayed too far away from what I think is biblical truth.
Yes, sir.
Sounds like a great story. Let us know when that one comes out. Heaven's
Yeah.
Ranch is available in a Kindle and in paper. Their first book, She Saved Her Daddy.
Yes,
She
sir.
saved her daddy, and I assume those are also available on Kindle and paperback. We're going to put a link in the show notes, let everybody know where those are. And like I said, when you get the Gabe and Mike tag team going, let me know. I love to read
Oh
that,
yeah. That'd be awesome.
and have our readers get it. So.
I'm looking forward to it. I have also I'll break it here on your podcast, the exclusive. I just signed a contract with the narrator. I'm going to be releasing Heaven's Ranch on audiobook by the end of next month, God willing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so
Fantastic. Yeah.
That's coming to audiobook as well.
That is great. That's a lot of fun to go through.
It is. It's been an awesome experience for sure.
Who's your narrator? You want to give your narrator a plug?
Her name is Janae Hoggins. Janae Hoggins. She's been awesome. I found her through a group on Facebook, and she auditioned for me. I think it was like two different times, and then I went through her log of narrations, and she's awesome, and she's super patient. And I was kind of like, look, hold on, do this in this kind of tone, do this in that kind of tone, and she's been really receptive, and I have a feeling we're going to be working together for a while in the future, because she does a really good job at getting the emotion. And I told her, like, look, I know you only have the snippet. I'm going to send you the entire thing so you can read it. And then after she read it, she's like, well, now I see why you wanted to be so emotional. She's like, I bawled throughout the entire book.
But she can't cry while she's narrating.
But yeah, exactly. Not, but that's like I told her, like, this is why it's important that we get everything right. She's like, no, I'm with you. I got you. Let's do it.
Try to get that out before Christmas. And
oh, yeah, no. Definitely will be out before Christmas.
Yeah, that'd make a wonderful Christmas present.
Yes, sir.
Friends and family to hear that story. Joe, it's been a pleasure talking with you. We're here to sell books, so like I said, all the links will be in the podcast. I was looking up the big ministries. There's a ton of them that show up though when you Google. So if you want to send me over, you can just do it through a message, a link to your ministry. Also, I'll be happy to put that up there and let people take a look.
Awesome. Appreciate you. All right, awesome. Bye. Thank you so much, Jim.
Good talking to you. Have a great weekend. Be safe.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much. You have a good one.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was my interview with Joe Sines, author of She Saved Her Daddy and Heaven's Ranch, both available on Amazon. And show notes will be a link so that you go out there and buy his books. It was a very touching and very moving interview and time that I was able to spend with him as he told us a story about loss, the loss of his daughter and his mom and his grandma, and this incredible dream that was a healing process for him. I think if you read his book and you've experienced that type of grief, I think maybe it will help you along in your own healing process. And I know in talking to Joe, that is one of his goals. Following God is his main goal. Helping others goes hand in hand with that. So again, the show notes will be the link to his books on Amazon. I'm also including a link to his Facebook page for Big Ministry, BIG Ministry. And if you're interested in that, hey, check out the Facebook page. It's good stuff there. I'm going to get out of here. Look for me. I'm the one walking down the highway carrying a book in his hand.